I'd like to pose some questions. They're big questions. Are Aboriginal critics any less critical, any less objective than a white critic? Are white critics blind to the cultural context of Aboriginal work, say work for the theatre? And why is Aboriginal journalism, for instance, not given the same credit as white journalism? Why is white journalism assumed to be inherently more objective, more neutral? And don't we all understand things according to our own cultural context? Even if that culture is the dominant one, the one that's generally rendered invisible. Well, I've spent a lot of time thinking about these questions. Most of what I do in terms of appraising the value of Aboriginal work is dismissed as biased. And for the most part, it doesn't really bother me. But these broader questions are circulating in the theatre world right now. After a fairly blunt review of Nakia Louie's new play, How to Rule the World. It was a review by Jason Whittaker, a theatre critic for an online magazine called Daily Review. He's also a senior producer at the ABC. But frankly, the review reads more like a critique of a tweet, in which Nakia, who's very active on social media, issued a common sense call for more cultural diversity and more honesty in theatre criticism. Now, she was writing in response to a pretty favourable review of the play in The Guardian by Larissa Berendt, my colleague and presenter of our sister program, Speaking Out. Now, this is what Nakia said first in that fairly innocent post on Twitter.
As a young Aboriginal woman who creates work, having your voice and your work constantly critiqued by those who have privilege and power from a colonial lens that is never acknowledged by the viewer is belittling and a little bit soul-destroying. It's like white men and white people have authority over me, take it upon themselves to validate instead of listen, and that's just meant to be given because criticism is inevitable. But what is the value of criticism if there is no introspection or critique of the critic? If race and power are allowed to be invisible, that's upholding oppression and racial supremacy, because neutrality is a privilege.
Nakia Louie in that post on Twitter. And here is some of what Jason Whittaker said in reply in his unfavourable review under the headline, Nakia Louie's How to Rule the World. A colonial perspective.
I am a white, if not straight, man, and I didn't much like Nakia Louie's blunt, irregularly funny New Sydney Theatre Company play, How to Rule the World. My cultural confession is Louie's idea, one I'm happy enough to make. As she writes on Twitter,
my gender and racial identity are mentioned in every review, but the critic never mentions theirs. I think that would make a huge difference to me as a reader.
Perhaps. Certainly, her argument that obscuring the responder's identity means, quote, the dynamics and power structures of art don't change, unquote, is a powerful one and demands consideration by anyone who responds to art in a public space. I could hardly review her piece now without grappling with it. I come from a different school, white, yes, but also journalism, where the job is to stand apart from your own identity, however futile that may be, and respond in an impartial voice. Now, some argue, some in journalism even, that impartiality is an old-fashioned idea. But I'm not ready to give up on it. You strive for neutrality, knowing you'll fail as an absolute, but still get closer to a reliable account than the one filtered through a prism of identity and prejudice. I truly believe the endeavour is still one worth pursuing. Criticism works a little differently, of course. It demands personal judgment, obviously, and is an inevitably emotional response as much as an intellectual one. More susceptible to our personal identity politics. And yet I wince sometimes at the inclusion of I in responses. I think there's value in me reckoning with a piece simply as someone who knows a bit about theatre and has seen quite a bit of it, considering how different groups may respond. No more value than anyone else, but no less. Which is not to deny the privilege of having this modest platform to spout off, and the education to articulate thoughts and consider cultural context, and the relative wealth to have seen some of the theatre that reckoned with issues of structural oppression and broken politics better than Louis does here, including some of her previous work. And the threat I feel, perhaps, on some level, that my voice won't forever be the prevailing one.
Jason Whittaker reviewing How to Rule the World in The Daily Review. So let's hear now from the playwright herself and the author of the review in The Guardian.
I'm Larissa Berendt. I'm the host of Speaking Out on ABC Radio.
I'm Nakia Louie, and I'm a writer-actor.
Larissa, you reviewed Nakia's play. We'll talk about what happened in the aftermath, but what did you see on stage?
Well, I have to say, I mean, I think one of the things that struck me most was how engaged I was with the play. I just actually really enjoyed it, particularly the first half, which I thought was really fast-paced. And I have watched Nakia's work since she started at Belvoir, so I feel like I've got a really good sense of the body of her work. And it felt like this had kind of come to a new level of sophistication in the writing, even though I think work's been really strong right from the start. And, you know, I guess for me too, you know, I think every audience member takes something different from a piece of art. I think different things will speak to you. And certainly Nakia's kind of cutting critique of racism in society is something that really resonates with me. But I also like how she sort of doesn't allow somebody like me in the audience to feel completely comfortable. She does sort of poke a few little jabs at some of the issues within our community, some of the ways in which perhaps we overplay our hand. So I think that to me it resonated. But I would say this as well. This, as I was leaving the theatre, I actually felt like what I'd seen was a play that sat very clearly in the tradition of Aboriginal theatre and Aboriginal writing for theatre, that reminded me very much of what I'd seen as a teenager from the Black Theatre. And although the subject matter is so different, as you would expect, because Nakia and I are of a different era, it felt like there was a very strong theatrical tradition for this work that was about our lived experience, giving voice to that lived experience and really provoking non-Indigenous audience. And I just thought it's so great to see that on main stage Sydney Theatre Company. This isn't now on some of those performances for the Black Theatre. We're literally on the streets of Redfern. They perform them in the streets. But here you have the Sydney Opera House at one of our leading companies performing this play. And all of that felt very significant to me.
Thank you. That means the world.
Nakia, do you see your work as part of that canon? Kind of Black Theatre canon?
Very much so. I think for myself, especially looking back at, like, you know, National Black Theatre, but for myself, very much so, because I guess my approach to my work is, well, a few things. I always think what I say is not really any different from what the generations preceding me have said or what they've asked for, or the conversations I don't think I'm having are new, maybe in the way that they're discussed, maybe the political rhetoric in which we talk about it and the language has shifted. Maybe some of it's more mainstream and therefore there's more opportunity for someone like me. But in a lot of ways, it's still, you know, a lot of the same talking points. And, you know, in fact, some of the ideas from back then are far more radical than, you know, what we discuss now or what I feel like I do. So in saying that, I think that, you know, it's, you're riding on the shoulders of giants. And that's why I think Black theatre has been so amazing in Australia. I mean, Australia wouldn't have theatre in this country across the board if it wasn't for Black theatre. Because back in the 70s and the 60s, Australian theatre was just trying to be, you know, the national over in the UK. It was Black theatre that really kind of shaped the voice of theatre. And we, I think the theatre community kind of forgets that and doesn't give that enough recognition. But for myself, most definitely, and a lot of it goes to, I think, my ideas around race and identity and culture. And I so often think of, you know, whiteness as a value system, which for me also then means that my indigeneity, there's also a value system to that outside of, you know, kinship and things. And if my value system as a Black woman is, you know, kind of counter and completely opposite to that of, you know, like a colonial patriarchal white man in Australia, then that gives me an opportunity to talk to everyone whom that value system excludes, if that makes sense. And that's the majority of people, in my opinion. So for me, being an Aboriginal artist, it's exciting because it's not just about telling my story as an Aboriginal woman. It's about being able to create space on stage and hopefully off the stage for voices and for people who have different values. And I think that's really exciting. So that's definitely why I think, and that's why it was really exciting to read Larissa's review and to have that conversation with you, because so often it's primarily white men who do the criticism and get to value what theatre is, or art in general, or just people in general in this country. So to, you know, kind of have someone who I admire so much, but also is so accomplished and well-read, well-educated, and has a lot of context, to place your work within something that I know has really inspired me and, you know, galvanised my beliefs, and to also, you know, make work, to place me in that context was really exciting and meant the world. Because it felt like a conversation that just hasn't been had before, because it's primarily, you know, theatre criticism and arts criticism is just like the space dominated by white men.
And I especially hear that critique about dance as well, where there's such a lack of deep comprehension about how that sits within our broader cultural space, and there's virtually no review of dance by Indigenous perspective.
Your review in The Guardian was positive and critical, and there's nothing wrong with the word critical. People have to understand that criticism is where you adjudicate the value. You not decide on the value of a work, but based on certain things, and these are the things that make this a good or not so good play. Mm. So you were very measured in your critique. But in the aftermath, let's put it in inverted commas, by Jason Whittaker in the Daily Review, I felt dismissed the way you had judged this work. You dealt with the art, you dealt with the politics, you dealt with the actual play itself, but I thought you were slightly dismissed.
Yes, and look, I have to say, when you review for something like The Guardian, you don't just get to write unchallenged by what you say, and particularly if you give a 5-star or a 0-star review, you have to back it up. And if anything, I thought I had to measure my enthusiasm for what I'd seen. I had a very strong positive reaction to it. And I would say this, I do see a lot of theatre. I see it through the work I do with the Major Performing Arts panel of the Australia Council. I do it through Sydney Festival, so I see a lot of Sydney Theatre Company, Belvoir, that end of it, and I see a lot of smaller theatre. So I see quite a lot. And I have to say, I don't often leave the theatre thinking I really enjoyed that. And I would say, for all of the critique that's now come around race and the politics within this play, what I think is most important to just point out first is that I actually thought, as an audience member, I spent time in a theatre and I really enjoyed it, and I don't feel that way very often. So, you know, and I think in some ways that's just as a legitimate way to measure what you've seen, is that you actually really enjoyed it. I do feel that when you come with that much perspective, having a good experience, not just with theatre, but obviously through that work and my work with Charing Bangara, I've seen a lot of dance. I also work in film. I see a lot of film. So I see a lot of storytelling. There is a large context in which I was judging Nakia's work and my reaction to it and what I saw and what I thought her thematics were and how well she expressed all of that. So it's kind of infuriating then to then be dismissed as being biased because you're Aboriginal. Nobody can see past that one thing. And I guess what is most annoying about it is that it kind of just doesn't face up to the fact that anyone who sits down to watch anything comes with their own preconceived ideas, their own bias, their own perspective. To say I come to this neutrally, or as a reviewer I sit outside of it, I can judge it objectively, I think is a bit self-delusional. We all have a perspective. And I think what kind of really rankles me is that I didn't, you know, there may have been things about Nakia's work that resonated with me because of my experience as an Aboriginal person. But to sort of say in somehow that makes me less able to judge it means that whoever's making that comment can't see past my race. They don't say anything about all of the experience I bring to what I judge. They can't see past it. So in some ways, that's the really annoying thing, is somebody who has the privilege of being white being able to say, well, you as a black person can't be biased, when they're the ones who've put that label on me. I sat there as an audience member.
Nakia, I think you have a right to be offended by the fact that this piece of writing, which argues as though it's a review or presents as a review, in fact doesn't deal with the play, or deals very sparingly with the play itself. It doesn't deal with the art, your identity and question, and things that you'd raised on Twitter in relation to Larissa's review about diversity and criticism. That's the basically the, you know, 75% of this review. You must be disappointed that the work was not treated as a work of art.
Yeah, I have like numerous issues with the conduct of the Daily Review and their decision to kind of allow this opinion piece to have the platform it does. And the reasons for that is, well, number one, I did the math. The author of the opinion piece, Jason Whittaker, he mentions himself, he mentions that he dislikes the play in the first paragraph, fair go, but then it takes him about 12 paragraphs to then mention the play again. The previous, you know, the rest of it is just him kind of pontificating about the fact that he's more impartial as a white man, really, just to kind of dumb it down. And then he mentions himself just over 70% more than he actually mentions the play, which is inevitably, like, what is that? That's an opinion piece. That's not a review. I think at the end of the day, as an Aboriginal artist, I should be allowed to have a review. Like, why? Because I'm an Aboriginal person, is my social media being responded to and not the actual work? Why am I being used as a vehicle for a white man to talk about his own whiteness as a reviewer? I just think that's not fair. I think it's unfair for people who have this position of power to just kind of augment the rules based on my race. So I think ultimately at the end of the day, are they setting a precedent that this can happen? Because they've never done it to a white writer. And they haven't said that they wouldn't do it again. Like, this is the problem. Like, Daily Review actually haven't responded. I wrote a post. I asked for a few things. I wanted them to apologise to Larissa because they just think it's... I don't think it's... I'm not a critic, but if I ran a website called The Daily Review, I would, you know, I wouldn't want my critics to be dismissing other critics on the basis of their race, essentially. I asked that they wouldn't do it again, that they would make an effort to try and have more people of colour, that they would change the review to be very clearly marked as an opinion piece, and maybe that they don't ask Jason Whittaker to review works by people of colour again. And this is another thing that kind of annoyed me about this, is that Jason Whittaker has never reviewed a work by an Australian person of colour in Australia, by Australian person of colour, ever. He hasn't really reviewed that many theatre pieces in general. He doesn't get paid for his review, so he's not like he's a professional critic. He doesn't have near as much experience as Larissa. So if they're wanting to actually engage with this conversation about diversity and criticism and what is it for a critic to look at racial work, why, number one, get someone who isn't an expert or that qualified as a critic in general? And why get someone who has never reviewed a work by an Australian person of colour before? Like, to me, that's just like we're just plucking some random white guy off the street and going, hey, mate, let us tell you about race, which is the epitome of white privilege. And then just furthering from that, the question I have about this is that Jason goes in and basically says, because he is not an Aboriginal woman, therefore he's more impartial to my work, but then also mentions how much he dislikes my previous work, but uses himself being impartial to put down myself and Larissa. It's just a piece that's full of hypocrisies, and I actually question the motive as to why he did it and why Daily Review would be so careless with who they're getting to write opinion pieces in regards to race within a theatre community in Australia, which is already so small and needs kind of nurturing. I just think it's incredibly irresponsible.
And it's sort of shocking to me too that in 2012 we can get a piece of writing or supposedly critical review that you could actually use in any classroom to teach what white privilege really looks like in action. And I guess one of the things that made me so angry about it and feeling like I needed to say something when usually I'd just ignore it was I felt that what was done to Nakia was the same as what was done to me, that there's a positioning of the white voice over the black voice, of mine as the critic, as Nakia as the playwright and voice in the key voice in the play. There was a privileging of the white voice. It was almost like you have to put us down so that you look more legitimate.
Mm.
And honestly, I couldn't stay silent and not get into the trenches with Nakia on that one.
And thank you. It was the author went out of his way to make sure I read it. He tagged me in the post and then Daily Review. And this is kind of the follow-up to this. So the Daily Review then, in their response, instead of acknowledging anything that I had said when they contacted me after it, they said I was welcome to write a piece in response to him for their website for $200. And it was just, you know, it was my racial targeting. Larissa's racial discrimination by this man for this publication was worth $200 to them. My response was, well, I'm surprised that you ignored everything that I've said on, like, I've already written my post on my page for myself. Your request is for my labour. I think that so often happens is that what I thought was happening with this and with Jason and with the Daily Review is it felt like they were using me for publicity and using yourself for publicity, because we have more followers than them as well, like a greater social media presence, not to, you know, tap myself on the shoulder. But again, it just felt like they were then using something that really, at the end of the day, it just kind of really hurt my feelings, and it hurts. I'm sure it hurt yours too. Like it, you know, like you to kind of be dismissed like that. It makes you feel so incredibly small. And I don't know. It's like, okay, well, I guess they're just kind of using this to kind of further their own profile, which again, so often happens with white supremacy, is that they will kind of take in order to gain.
Yeah, I feel really heartened to hear you say that, for the very reason that I felt I was being cynical in thinking this wasn't just a sort of fumbling, stupid mistake, but that felt quite cynical about how much publicity people were getting out of it and at the enormous emotional cost that it comes to people, especially Nakia, who puts so much work into it. I almost feel like now I just want to not privilege that voice and just say, the other thing about the review that's just really grating to me was that actually, yes, race is an issue in this play, but of course it is. You've got an Aboriginal character, a Tongan character. You've got a range of different experiences in this play. But actually, to me, at the heart of it, it was about a thematic of how do marginalised people find a political voice in our system, and how do you not get corrupted by power?
Yeah.
Like, these are big thematics that any good playwright would tackle. It diminishes Nakia's work to say this is just a play about race, any more than it would be if it had a female lead to say this is just a play about gender. There are big political issues in this play that resonate with the zeitgeist, and it has much more significance than just narrowing it down to the fact that this is just a black person's play about race.
I would hate for the way that Larissa is being treated to put off other people of colour engaging with criticism, which is what we desperately need, because outside of a play, the only documentation we have about the work is the criticism and the essays and the words surrounding it. And that's why criticism in theatre ecology is so incredibly important. And that's why we need more diverse critics, is so work is being explored in just, I think, a more interesting, nuanced way. But, you know, I wonder if this is, it seems like a fight for, it's this what it seems like. I wrote a little social media post just about how excited I was to be able to have this conversation with Larissa. I've written, I think, 8 plays now. There's a lot of reviews out there by white men that this one little review, not to dismiss your work, but this one little encounter that we had and the excitement was enough of a threat for like these white men to come out in force and be like, no, like you just, like Nikia, you just want diversity to self-serve. Larissa, you just...
You're just biased.
Yeah. What do you mean? You're just, yeah. Yes, you're more accomplished, never, but more biased, perhaps.
Academic is never used as a compliment, I'll just note, for reasons I don't know. But anyway.
Well, it's probably because you're Aboriginal. So, I don't know.
The term that was used is echoed boosterism, which I'd never heard those two words used together before. Genuine criticism, not simply echoed boosterism. The inference, Larissa, being that your review amounted to not genuine criticism, but echoed boosterism.
Oh, I know. It's so patronising, isn't it? That's what's really annoying about it. And you just think of how many self-indulgent plays have been written by middle-class white men about the malaise of middle-class white men and reviewed with enthusiasm by middle-class white men. And you just think, really? And I have to say, one of the things that it did, Nikia makes a really good point in that I've really picked up on in all of the good points she's made. And it's this, we don't have enough of our own people reviewing, and not just reviewing our own stuff, but reviewing non-Indigenous stuff.
Yeah.
And it did actually, if I've got an action I'm going to do out of this, it is to review more of our own community's work and give them at least the respect of being reviewed from a perspective of somebody who understands their cultural background, but also the broader pantheon in which their work sits, which most non-Indigenous reviewers don't know. They might be able to judge Nakia's work in the tradition of Shakespeare, but can they judge it in the tradition of Jack Davies and what that history of playwriting's done for this country? I don't think so. So I think for me, there feels like that is a kind of, I feel like almost a subversive action. And I think you should do that too, Dan. You have also got a wide range of knowledge of, you know, of Aboriginal culture and Aboriginal creative practice, a long history of reviewing it really through your show. I think we need to be more proactive about being confident that we've got a right to judge and not just work from our own community, but to judge other work. So, you know, maybe I'll go and judge some middle-class white playwriting and tell them what I think about their echo chamber.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting all fired.
but it's utterly true that we never call white work white.
No.
Ever. And we never critique it, you know, and that was one of the reasons, you know, I was excited to, you know, be reviewed by you. And not, no disrespect to you, Larissa, but I got better reviews than, you know, I have people who were like way more glowing. No disrespect, you know, but...
I did give you 4 stars.
No, you did. It was really good. But I guess, you know, it was like if they wanted to, you know, talk about, you know, if it was going to be self-serving or boosterism, it'd be a different conversation, you know. But I think whiteness so often gets to be neutral and gets to be invisible. And that's one of the things I try and do with a lot of my plays and with How to Rule the World as well, is this critique of making whiteness visible. And within, especially within How to Rule the World, which is, you know, free people of colour who get a white puppet into parliament to kind of take over government, it's also just kind of the privilege of white mediocrity, you know, that white people can try and that's good enough, and that, you know, that, and in particular, you know, kind of white men will, you know, that this idea of this ingrained kind of supremacy. But so it's very much a, you know, a critique of that. And I think a writer going, I'm a white male, responding to with my colonial gaze to a black woman, that is just, it gets so utterly completely wrong and is so, so disrespectful to all of the black people who have kind of you know, worked really hard to talk about things like identity in mainstream space. Just going back to this idea of boosterism and self-serving, it was really interesting to me because I think that was more of a reflection on the writer, just given how inexperienced they are as a theatre critic and also their lack of, I guess, theatre knowledge when it comes to, you know, works that are kind of, I guess, outside of the white canon. Because they got given this kind of platform to write this opinion piece that really makes very little sense and I think kind of does a disrespect to opinion pieces about race in general. But that's an act of boosterism. And it was really kind of, I think for myself especially, you know, the last kind of couple of months for me have been very hard, I think emotionally, because, you know, you, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, Larissa, like when you have a platform, you feel like it's your duty to say something because for myself it'd be immoral not to, because I come from a community where so many people don't have a voice, whereas I do have a voice. So I have my work, but also as an Aboriginal woman, I feel like the one thing I can do is speak up. For that to then kind of, that to be dismissed as being self-serving in some way was just utterly, I think, kind of tactless as to, you know, what advocacy, activism and community is, and someone who just really seems to have very little respect for kind of Aboriginal people's cultural activism.
Nakia Louie, the playwright and actor in the Sydney Theatre Company's latest production, How to Rule the World, which is on at the Sydney Opera House until March the 30th. She was with Larissa Berendt, the host of our sister program Speaking Out, who reviewed the play for The Guardian. There are links to both reviews, that by Jason Whittaker and Larissa, on our website. And there's a link to a bonus episode of the stage show with Michael Cathcart, where he speaks to Nakia and fellow cast members Anthony Taufer and Michelle Lim Davidson about the play.